Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, Tim. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, John. I think I've got some defense to work on here.
What's the matter with you people over there?
Well, we're from Washington. We're here to help, you know.
Yes, exactly. You're part of the swamp. You're the problem. You're the executive editor for U.S. News and World Report. We really appreciate your helping us out here, Tim. You've heard my theory and thoughts about this. Talk to me about what we've said so far.
Well, I think you're spot on. I mean, obviously, coming in last in fiscal stability with the economic and budgetary problems that Illinois has had in recent times, that hurts you pretty badly. Also, we had a new category this year, quality of life, and that's broken down into two areas, the social environment, and that includes things like voter participation, community engagement, but also the natural environment, which includes things like air pollution, water quality, drinking water quality. And frankly, you didn't do so well there. You came in 47th, largely, I think, because of the industrialization of the state in and around, you know, Chicago, obviously, the air pollution.
Yeah.
A lot of that's historic. I mean, it's things that have been going on for a long time and take a long time to improve.
But are you? But does it give you pause if you come up with this rubric and you input all the numbers? It's a formula that you all have designed. I mean, it's somewhat subjective, however, you know, scientific it is. You explain your method in the article. But here's my point. If after all of that, you go North Dakota's 4, Illinois is 35, does that make you rethink your logic on this?
Well, last year, Massachusetts was the number one state, and Massachusetts fell 8 places this year. And they asked a lot of questions of us also. And I think, I think that what we found is that on the metrics that we use, and there are 77 metrics across 8 categories, and you listed all the categories, some of the rural states do better, maybe because they don't have as diverse populations or they don't have as many different kinds of people to feed or to provide health care for. Maybe they're a little bit more stable and uniform. You know, Iowa, you mentioned, Minnesota, they've done well. North Dakota, I think, did well because, you know, its economy and its fiscal stability. It may not be everybody's choice of a state to live, but I think, you know, if you looked at a state where people historically have wanted to live, California doesn't come in that highly either.
So it
is one of those things sometimes where when you take a lot of metrics and mash them together, we try to apply a smell test, if you will, at the end. We make sure that something hasn't, rigged it in a way that would benefit one state over another. And, you know, we have had change. And Nebraska came into the top 10 for the first time. I think Nebraska is a state that's changing, from just a purely agricultural state. There's, you know, changes afoot there. But I think where Illinois gets hurt is that It doesn't have many things that it's highly ranked in. It's mostly ranked in the middle to the sort of second half of the list.
And let me throw out some things that Illinois does well, and tell me if we get credit for this in your metric. Okay.
Okay.
Our downtown, our skyline, our beautiful city, our city parks,
restaurants,
our theater scene. How are we doing so far? I mean,
lakefront.
Our lakefront is really a destination unto itself.
Museums.
Our museum campus, best in the world.
Well, I don't think any of those are in the metrics, really.
Oh.
I think within the metrics that we have for the state as a whole, housing affordability, you come in at number 16, road quality at number 23. High-speed internet access, number 13, actually do pretty well. Low smoking rate at 18 and low suicide rate at number 6. So maybe people aren't killing themselves because the Chicago is such a great place to live.
Proximity to water is a mitigating factor on suicide rates across the world. You know, so but just...
So basically, if we were logical,
we would be living in those top five places, but maybe we don't pick places to live logically.
No, but think about the first part of that. If we were logical, if you're going to, where should you live, we would all pack up and move to Nebraska, right. North Dakota, or Iowa. And I'm thinking, like hell, we're going to do that. You can't answer this question, maybe, Tim Smart over at U.S. News, but I wonder if all of us packed up and moved to those places, would we be a lot happier? I mean, they're the best places to live, right? These are the best states to be in. I wonder if I would change my tune if I were talking to you from New Hampshire or Utah right now.
Well, we did, in fact, talk to people in Iowa and Utah, and they seem to be very, very happy. One of the things that is interesting is that young people in particular, like in Illinois, the growth of the young population, you rank 40th for that. But one of the states that ranks really highly in that category is Idaho, which also ranks, is a state that more people, have had more population growth than any other state on a percentage basis. And what we found out, because we sent someone to Idaho to do some reporting, was that the young people that once were going to Silicon Valley or they were going to Seattle, you know, to be part of Google or Amazon or Starbucks or whatever, now they're going to Boise, Idaho. That's the hot new place if you're 20-something. So I think, I think the big cities are attractive to people, but also I think a lot of the younger generation may not have the same interests that you or I might. They may not care whether there's good museums or not. They may care whether they can go skydiving or, hiking and stuff like that.
They don't know what they're missing. I'm angry at those people. And I appreciate your humoring me on this. And I just want to point something else out, too. So I'm looking at the list, and, Iowa, Minnesota, the top states, right? Almost all of the top states have something that's number one or two in a given category. Iowa is number one for infrastructure, number three for health care. North Dakota is number one for quality of life. New Hampshire is number one for opportunity. So the ones in any given category tend to cluster towards the top. And then the 50s in any given category tend to be in the worst states as well. Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, yes. West Virginia, Alabama own the 50s. And then there's this outlier called Illinois. We're really a 20-something state. Until you get to fiscal stability, I could say responsibility, and quality of life. And I mean, what an unfortunate self-inflicted wound fiscal stability is, because that's our own doing. We got nobody to blame but ourselves on that,
right.
You know?
Right. You're right. In most of the other categories, you're in the 20s or in some cases, high 20s infrastructure, you're number 13. So if we gave more accounting to reliability of the electrical grid or the, public transit usage, you're number five. Well, that's right up there probably with New York.
And good, lucky for us, I guess, for ways that I maybe don't appreciate. But I'm thinking if anybody is defensive about this like me, or if anybody's angry about this, then I think, okay, look at that number 50, you guys, Chicago and Illinois. All the resources perfectly situated for a corporate headquarters, yada, yada, yada. And we are number 50 for fiscal stability. I presume that's because the state's in debt. We don't even pay our lottery winners on time. I'm not making that up. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah. No, it is debt, long-term and short-term, and pension obligations.
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody's thinking about when I talk about this. Well, our ridiculous pension situation. We weren't paying. We were taking money out of the money that was supposed to be going to pensions, and we were doing silly stuff with it. We were doing the wrong stuff with it. Where were you when I needed you, Mr. Smart? You could have saved us from this. That's really an interesting list, and maybe it's a wake-up call to some of us to either move to Utah or to fix what ails the state, because compared to other places, we're not bad, except for that quality of life and fiscal stability thing. All right.
Well, you know what you got to do your work for,
Yeah. By the way, some of the texts include, hey, John, North Dakota is awesome. North Dakota's beautiful. North Dakota is a place for jobs. The wages are high there. But North Dakota is boring socially. It has the state of one of our smaller cities. The population is the same as Naperville, for crying out loud. I want to just comment on one thing, though, since we're talking about that, and then I'll let you go, Mr. Smart. When you were describing Iowa, you said that it does not have diverse populations. And I think I know what you meant. But I when I look at Iowa, I see it as, however stable a state, a very white agriculture manufacturing state that doesn't have the diversity and the problems, but also the richness that a Pennsylvania or a New York or an Illinois have. How is a lack of a diverse population an asset for a state?
Well, I don't think it is an asset, and it's more diverse, I think, than people might think, or that it historically has been, because it is changing, as are many states. All states, really, in fact, are changing their populations quite significantly. I think what I meant was is that if you have a more diverse state or more diverse population, you might have to provide more and different services to accommodate them, and that may mean that, for instance, that it's harder, say, to provide access to health care at the same level if you're providing it to different age groups, different, you know, genders and that sort of thing. That's really what I meant.
If you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a magazine like U.S. News and World Report. Tim Smart, the executive editor over there. Was that you I saw on TV on the CBS Morning News the other day?
No, that was my boss. That was the editor, Brian Kelly.
I hear
I will tell you, he worked for the Chicago Sun-Times back in the day, so he is a very, very fond fan of Chicago.
As are we, and we sure appreciate your help today, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Sure thing, John.
Have a good day. Likewise, it's 2:21, and this is WGN.